Welcome to the Marketing That Generates podcast, hosted by yours truly, Lauren Powell. For over a decade, I've partnered with business owners around the globe to create and implement their digital marketing strategy. Working together with their teams, we generate more leads, more customers, and more revenue. I'm here to make your business growth simpler by making online marketing simpler. Every week, I'll be interviewing other business owners about the strategies that are keeping their marketing relevant in the long term, so they're not hammered by monthly algorithm adjustments. So are you ready to generate more leads, better leads, and more sales-ready leads online while making the most of your oh-so-valuable time? Then this is the podcast for you. Are you tired of being promised the magic pill that's going to solve all your online marketing challenges? Well, this podcast does not promise quick overnight fixes, nor a one-size-fits-all marketing formula. Instead, it will empower you to think differently and more strategically about your marketing so that you get better results. So whether you're a business owner, solopreneur, or an aspiring entrepreneur, listen in and subscribe for zero fluff and actionable takeaways. And for bonus resources, go to marketingthatgenerates.com. In our current podcast series, I interview the owners of four very different law firms, and we dive deep into their marketing. Today's episode is the fourth and final of the series, and I interview Dan Finn of Finn Legal Group based in Southern California. After spending years in class action litigation, Dan started his estate planning and business law firm during the pandemic. While these practice specialties are seemingly very different, in this podcast episode, you'll hear why they work so well together. Plus, Dan has created a super smart business model, one that ditches the expensive hourly billing and is far more transparent, friendly, and enjoyable for the attorney and client alike. And I'll say for me, this episode is super special because Dan's a longtime good friend of my husband and I, and I've had a first row seat to his entrepreneurial journey. I've been so impressed by everything he's done to grow his firm during what frankly is quite a scary time to leave employment and start your own business, that I really wanted to bring him on the podcast to share some of the behind the scenes of what's been going on for him. So tune in now and make sure to grab the show notes to get all the links from this episode. Dan, I'm so happy to have you here. Thank you for showing up and spending an hour with me.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Lauren. I'm really excited.
Yeah, and I think I'll just start by saying, you know, I've known you for a long time, and I'm really excited about this direction that you're going with your law firm because I've kind of seen the entire journey, and I just think you're doing something so cool and so brave, and I'm really excited to highlight that here for our listeners today.
Yeah, I think it's definitely off the beaten path, but I really, really believe in what I'm doing. You know, unfortunately, gone are the days of personal lawyers dedicated to like helping individuals in their communities. I think they've been replaced by mid to large law firms that are only concerned about, you know, their bottom line and not fostering the attorney-client relationship. And so what I'm trying to do is kind of bring back that attorney-client relationship.
Yeah. And, you know, you've seen that from both sides because you have a lot of experience working in small and large firm settings prior to starting your firm. And so I think you've seen both sides of that coin, right?
Yeah. So I know this because of my experience working in a big law firm setting, because the legal model, like you said earlier, it really just benefits the attorneys and not the clients. And so, you know, when I decided to start my law firm, I wanted to avoid doing some of the typical things that big law firms do and estate planning firms do. So to give you kind of more, or to give you a better idea of all of that. So first, if you've worked with any size law firm, but especially a big law firm, you've likely been exposed to the hourly billable model, right? From a big law attorney's perspective, clients are only as valuable as the amount of hours you can bill on their case. Additionally, this business model from the beginning creates a sense of like distrust between client and attorney, because most clients don't believe it if you took X amount of hours to research and write a memo. And I hate to say this, but the clients have every right to be wary, because in the industry, the temptation to inflate the amount of time a legal task may take is far too great for some attorneys. Additionally, hourly billables just inhibit communication between the client and attorney. So if you're my client and you know that I charge, let's say, $500 per hour, you have every incentive to keep the communication between us to a bare minimum. So when you have a question about your case or you only want that question to be answered, you don't want to spend any time getting to know the person on the other end of that line that may be responsible for the livelihood of your business or responsible for the decisions that could affect your family. That was my big takeaway from the kind of big law business model. My sense about estate planning really changed where I witnessed someone go through the kind of probate and estate planning process during my career. We had a family friend that went to a big law firm and paid a substantial amount of money to put together kind of a generic estate plan that he was hoping would work to keep his family out of court and out of conflict when, you know, he would eventually pass. Specifically, he intended for his assets to go to his nephew and niece, which were like kids to him. And when the documents were drafted, he signed them, he wrote a check to his attorney, and then never spoke to his attorney again. And so 15 years passed from when he drafted those documents and then ended up passing away. However, between the time he drafted the documents and the time he passed away, his assets grew, the law changed, his nephew was arrested multiple times and addicted to drugs, and the niece had passed away and left three small children. So what happened at, you know, when he had these basically expensive stack of papers that were presented to the judge, the result was, because of the niece's death, her share lapsed back into the trust and was set to go to the nephew. The estate plan was challenged by the nephew and the niece's family, and they were engulfed in litigation that ultimately left the assets with the nephew. So I know I just went on for a little bit, but to me, everything I just spoke about is unfortunately common, and in my humble opinion, just ass backwards in the industry. So when I started my firm, I decided that I didn't want to perpetuate that model. So as a result, I don't do hourly billables. Ultimately, my clients decide what they want to pay based on the services they need. That way, there's an agreement upfront. And as a client, you know exactly what services you are getting and what it's going to cost you. There are no surprises. And more importantly, there's no mistrust. Second, I encourage limitless communication between my clients and I. I think communication is vital for any healthy attorney-client relationship. As a result, I don't charge for it, and my clients love that. They can call me, email me, text me as much as they need. And that really naturally develops into a stronger relationship and is the foundation for, you know, the trust that's supposed to be put in place for an attorney-client relationship. With respect to the estate planning side, I don't do one-size-fits-all planning. There's nothing generic about the plans I put together. Everything is specialized based on the time I spend getting to know my clients, their needs and desires. And then finally, the big takeaway from my family friend story is that I always follow up with my clients every 3 years to make sure that their plan is up to date, and I do it for free. And so if their family dynamics change, if their assets grow, or if the law changes, we'll be ready for that. And so those were the big four things that I wanted to implement that were, I think, very, very different than most other firms in the industry and just in general.
Well, first of all, I think what a breath of fresh air, because I think not even just in the legal industry, but most people listening, myself included, can speak to the misalignment of billable hours and how that creates conflict between the client and the vendor, because you know, the client wants something done as fast as possible. The vendor wants to take as long as possible. And it doesn't really speak to the value that's being offered. If you're someone who's very good at what you do, it might take you half the time to do something than someone who's brand new. And so by having a fixed, transparent fee up front, that really puts everyone on the same page, and as you speak to, builds that trust.
Right. Yeah. Clients just love that, because it gets the relationship off on the right foot. You know, I'm very transparent of what services I'm going to offer, when they're going to get them, how they're going to get them. And, you know, the clients write a check, and, you know, the relationship blossoms from there. And so it's so much better than this old antiquated model.
Absolutely. And then speaking to the updates every 3 years, you said, if family situations change, if laws change, I mean, let's be realistic. It's more about when they change.
Right.
And right. I think we've all heard horrible estate planning I've heard a number of them, kind of what happens when someone passes and things change. I think there's no greater gift, to be honest, that you can give your loved one than a clear estate plan, because it just reduces the opportunity for litigation, reduces fighting, and it makes it very crystal clear what you want when you pass and how you're going to take care of your family. So the fact that you make sure that that is the outcome you're providing to your clients, even though it includes free updates every 3 years, and maybe that's, to someone listening, sounds crazy, I actually think it helps you get clients for life.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. So by offering that like free review and update, clients are willing to stick with me, but more so they're also willing to recommend me. And that right there has been a great source of referrals. And if there needs to be like drastic changes because, you know, like let's say, you know, a family member passed away and there were specific assets that were being distributed to that family member, then I will probably need to quote those clients from the get-go and say, hey, this is what I think needs to happen based on what's occurred. This is how much I normally charge for it. I think we should do this. And then it's up to the clients if they want to move forward or not. And I also explain the risk of not doing it. But ultimately, you know, the decisions, I just work to educate my clients so that they can make the best decision possible moving forward.
Yeah, and I think that's evident too. And I'm not billing you by the hour to ask me questions, because let's be frank, for the average person who's not an attorney, the law is very hard to understand. And it's very hard, especially with estate planning, to know, like, is this clear? How, when I pass, if this goes to litigation, how is this going to be decided? And I think you really want to provide that peace of mind for your clients, because to be honest, your service is a little bit about life or death. And people want to know that their families are taken care of.
Absolutely. It can be a tough conversation to have. I heard somebody once describe it like having a conversation with somebody else in your underwear. I thought that was like a decent analogy. But so if you know ahead of time you're going to have a tough conversation, you have to do everything you can from the outset to support the trust between, you know, attorney and client. And part of that is just not hiding the ball and saying, hey, it took me, you know, 20 hours to draft your estate plan. So based on my rate, this is what you owe me. It just doesn't, I think it's just an old model and just doesn't work in this day and age.
Yeah, absolutely. So Dan, for anyone who's listening, because estate and business planning can feel a little vague for someone who's not an attorney, can you share a little bit more about some of the services that you offer your clients?
Sure. Yeah. So I'll start with estate planning. So if you were to go down the estate planning route, typically what I do is I send my clients a homework after vetting them. And The homework is intended to kind of get an idea of the client's financials, family dynamics, beliefs, and values. Then we go through a 3-meeting process where the first meeting is intended to, 1, introduce myself to the client, 2, get to know the client, and then 3, we kind of get into the tougher questions, which really go really founded around whether, you know, what would happen to a client's family and assets if something were to happen to them. We talk about what would happen now with like a current plan in place or a lack thereof, what they would want to have happen. And then we discuss plans about how to fill that gap. And so what those plans entail are, you know, trusts, wills, power of attorneys, healthcare directives, guardianships. And then, so all of those things are meant to, A, ensure, I think, peace of mind is the first one. B, to have control of your hard-earned assets that you've worked for over a period of time go where you want them to go and are not dictated by a judge in a probate court who may appoint somebody that is going to be an executor of your estate who you don't want to be in charge of distributing the assets for your estate. And then 3, it's also about passing down values and beliefs. So this last one is something I do that I know not a lot of other estate planning attorneys do. So remember I mentioned that 3-meeting process. In the 3rd meeting, I sit down with my clients and I draft up specific interview questions for my clients. And the purpose of the interview questions are to get an understanding of, you know, who they are as a person, what kind of values they have, how did they develop those values, what are their beliefs. And then I record this interview and I secure this record interview in my secure vault. And included with the 3-year review of the estate plan are these subsequent interviews. And the point of these interviews are to be able to pass down those stories, beliefs, and values to the next generation. Because ultimately, if I gave you a choice to pass down money or values to the generations beyond, like your grandkids or your great grandkids, I think most people would choose the values. But that's lost in the traditional estate planning process. Nobody addresses that. And so I try to address that through this kind of interview, an ongoing interview. So that's my estate planning services. With respect to my business services, I really focus on buy-sell agreements. And most people don't know what buy-sell agreements are. And I typically say buy-sell agreements are like prenuptials for partnerships. Most people don't know that partnerships fail at a higher rate than marriages, but there are no documents in place on how to deal with that failure. So in comes the buy-sell agreement. So buy-sell agreement is a contract between partners that lays out how one partner is going to get paid out or how one partner is going to buy out another partner if something were to happen to either partner. So for example, let's say you have a partnership with 2 people and one person is extremely valuable and holds a 50% equity in that partnership. Well, you can decide ahead of time what the value of the business is. And let's say that individual were to pass away. You can take out life insurance on that. The business can take out life insurance on that partner's life. And if that person were to pass away or become incapacitated, then that life insurance can kick in and pay that partner for his share of the company. And so it provides like an extra sense of security for partnerships, especially when so much of the business is dependent on the partners specifically.
Yeah. So what I love about your kind of two branches of the business, estate and business planning, is that they work so well together. And if you're a business owner, so much of your what you're building is to create some sort of legacy for yourself or your family. And having really clear outlines of how are your buy-sell agreements handled? How is your financials and your values, how are they left to your family or friends or whoever you want to leave that to? I just think it's a really beautiful way to help people create an impact with what they're doing and not create any legal confusion in the process, if that makes sense. Those are my layman's terms because I'm not an attorney, but that's how I'm interpreting it.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And I do, a lot of my clients are small business owners. And so it's a very easy bridge to be able to provide services or you know, educate my clients on the needs of services in both industries. So it was a very easy thing for me to transition to when I was looking at getting out of litigation and deciding which industry to focus on or industries.
Yeah. And let's, you know, speaking frankly, life and business, as much as we like to talk like work-life balance or whatever, when you're a business owner, like those are both very integrated together. They're not like two separate silos that never touch each other. So it makes a lot of sense to me that, let's say I was your client and you were getting to know me and my values and how, you know, what my estate plan would be, that you would be able to help me translate that into what a buy-sell agreement would look like.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's just very compatible. It kind of goes back to that attorney client trust that I was talking about at the beginning. And most of the business owners that are my clients, I originally got from estate planning. And my work with them grew into part of their business planning as well. Because of that, I think that initial trust from my estate planning by not offering hourly billables, by encouraging communication, getting to know each other, by clearly like laying out the services I'm going to provide and how those services differ. It provided a completely new, you know, revenue stream for me to be able to say, hey, I know we're putting this estate plan together, but have you thought about buy-sell agreements as well? And so it's a very cool little niche that I can add to my business.
I love it. And let's say someone's listening to this podcast and saying, hey, I'm a business owner. I think I might need Dan's help. Are there certain triggers or specific milestones or specific problems someone's facing that you might say, yes, this is a great time to work with me?
So business owner, I would say, if you're a partnership, I would say it's never too early to start with a buy-sell agreement. And the same thing definitely goes for estate plan. If you own a business and maybe your net worth is tied up in that business, you know, I always try to get curious with my clients and ask them, you know, what would you want to have happen to your business if something were to happen to you? And I would probably just pose that question to any listeners. And if you're unsure or if you just you're looking for answers, that's probably a good point to think about talking to an attorney like myself or somebody that practices in a similar way.
I think that's great. And let me just ask you perhaps a naive question, but on the estate planning side, do you find that most people wait? Like they postpone estate planning because they think something's never going to happen, or they maybe like bury their head in the sand because you mentioned it's never too early. So,
right.
Yeah, I guess.
What causes people to wait?
Yeah, I get not even what causes people to wait, but is there some benefit to starting early and then continuing to evolve the estate plan as life goes on rather than waiting until it's too late or, you know, you're 30 or 40 or 50 or however old you are because you think, oh, nothing's going to happen?
Yeah, I think there's kind of two answers to that. I think one is really the lack of education out there to what proper estate, the benefits of proper estate planning, just from a financial perspective. And then two, I think people just genuinely think that they're, that nothing bad is ever going to happen. But we've all, you know, we all have stories about things that come up, and it doesn't even need to be death. It could be incapacity or bankruptcy or divorce or, you know, lawsuits. There's just things that frequently pop up in our lives that are unanticipated, that we kind of push to the back of our minds, or if we see it in front of us, we just typically say, you know, that'll never happen to me. But the reality is that it does. And so the same way that you protect yourself or your family by, you know, buying homeowners insurance or life insurance, or that you go work out every day, or that you eat healthy, you know, these are all things that I think are kind of in the same realm of proper planning. It's, you know, I'd like to think it's unlikely that anything's bad is going to ever happen to me, but, you know, we don't know how much time, I guess, we have. And so, you know, it's important to take the steps to plan ahead of that.
Yeah. And I, you know, my husband and I recently updated our estate plan, and we went through, because I didn't know any attorneys that I trusted here in Colorado, we went through like some templated process through LegalZoom, and then you hop on a call with an attorney, and I'll just say it left a lot to be desired. And I would hire you based on your business model alone, besides the fact that I know you, as soon as you start practicing in Colorado, because I just think these things are too important to leave to templates and a 1 hour call with a stranger.
So there's a joke in the estate planning community amongst attorneys that LegalZoom and Rocket Lawyer and all of those kind of generic templates that you can find online are actually the best drivers for clientele growth for us, because of exactly what you just mentioned. They tend to, first of all, if you look at the fine print of any of those websites, they all say the same thing. And it's something to the effect of, this is not legal advice, please consult an attorney. And so, like, right off the bat, a lot of people don't, I mean, I'm glad to hear that you spoke to the attorney after that, but a lot of people just don't. They'll just print out documents. And then, kind of like the story I told before, they don't ever think about it again. And then when they go, or when their family needs those documents, when they're counting on the decisions that have been, they thought, made from those kind of generic template documents don't work, it ends up costing the family both time, money, and emotion, I would say, when all of that can be, you know, taken care of, if you find the right type of attorneys that really are, again, aren't focused on the bottom line, but are focused on the client's needs. And it, for me, it always goes back to the client. You know, I try to ensure that whatever problem they're coming to me with, I'm going to be able to help them fix it and continue to fix it as that problem may develop down the future.
Absolutely. And I've been a little nervous for this interview because I wasn't sure how much I was going to share, but just because I think what you do is so important, I will. You know, one of the greatest gifts family members have given me and the rest of my family when they passed was having very clear estate plans. And then we could focus, to be honest, on grieving properly, rather than like, hey, we don't know what this person wants with their assets. We don't know what they want to do with this. People fighting. And I honestly think there's no greater gift you can give your family than having a clear estate plan.
Yeah. Yeah. You take the decision out of their hands, like you said. And, it, you know, it's just the family can, like, naturally grieve or do whatever they need to do because the affairs have been taken care of. And it's a gift in the end. So it's much better than the class action litigation I was doing beforehand.
Certainly. So I was going to ask you a little bit about that because you were in a very different environment before, and you already hinted at it, and I don't know that you need to go into a ton of detail, but almost every business owner has their own story about why they decided to venture off on their own. And maybe you could just share a little bit about your story and what was the catalyst for you doing this brand new thing.
Sure. So I was doing class action litigation in employment law. And candidly, I hated it. But I really, you know, it went back to the hourly billables. And I realized what I kind of hinted to earlier was that time is really our most precious resource. And what I was doing was I was trading time, a very finite resource that we don't know the amount we have, right, for money, which is an infinite amount. It's an infinite resource. You know, you and I, Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, we can work our entire lives and we will never capture all of the money in the world, right? But again, our time is so valuable. And about 2 months after my daughter was born, I started my firm. And that's no coincidence because that whole realization that time is really the most important thing, most important resource we have, really hit home when I was holding a brand new baby, you know? And so for me, that was really the primary driver. I wanted to get back to doing something where I could still help people. I could still feel good about the services I was providing, but I didn't have to say I need to work 12 hours a day in order to provide for my family, because by exchanging those 12, the, you know, what, and it obviously varies, but any fixed amount of time that you have to exchange takes away from the time you could have with your friends and loved ones. And so for me, that was the biggest driver.
I think that's a really beautiful story. And, you know, I know things shift when you have a little one, and you certainly have a super cute little baby girl. And I remember hearing about all the hours you were working. And to be honest, it reminded me of when I was working in medical devices and working crazy hours. And I was like, what am I doing all this for? What am I doing all this for? Like, I'm learning a lot, but one, I hate it. And two, like, what's left at the end of the day? Like, how many hours I worked? Like, I don't really care about that all that much. That doesn't really align with my values. So your story resonates with me a lot.
Yeah. I think every kind of entrepreneur or small business owner or whatever you want to call it kind of has that coming to Jesus moment, right? Where they're like, what am I doing? And, you know, it's funny how sometimes I had that thought probably year two of my legal career, but I just kept going because I thought starting my own firm or starting a business would be too complicated. It took a good mentor of mine to sit me down and me kind of offer up a similar excuse where I said, you know, I don't know if I'm going to have the time to start a business. And at this point, my wife was pregnant, and, you know, we were planning on having more kids, and, you know, I was trying to progress in my career. And he just kind of looked at me and he said, do you think your life is going to get more or less complicated from here? And if you think it's going to get more complicated from here, why wouldn't you just start now? And that was like a eureka moment. The light bulb went off, and I just knew at that moment I needed to kind of take back control of my life, because things do just get more complicated, you know, the older we get, or the more our family grows, or the more our, you know, careers progress. And so why not just try now? And so that's what I did.
I think that's awesome. And I also think you had a super clear business model that came from all your experience that maybe you wouldn't have had if you decided to do this in year two of doing class action litigation.
Yeah, definitely. But again, like when you're caught up in the grind, it kind of took somebody from an outside perspective to like reinforce that idea that I could do it and walked me through kind of a lot of the things that we talked about today so that it becomes feasible in your mind. And then it's just up to you. You just kind of have to make the decision you're going to get it done.
Yeah. And I don't think you can underestimate the impact of a good mentor. I think we all have lots of mentors in our life. And let's speak frankly, starting your own business is daunting. So having someone having someone who can reflect back to you, maybe some of what you're thinking, help you clarify problems in your head, I just think goes such a long way and can really fast track things, especially if you are in the business of providing a service where the traditional model is billable hours. And it could be really easy to just be doing the same thing you were doing for the firms you were working for before, but just applying that to your own business.
Yeah, I think mentors are just invaluable. And, you know, personally for me, one of the things I'm starting to realize is that I try to do everything at once and all myself. And I, you know, sometimes it helps, like I said, having that person from an outside perspective to be able to say, hey, you need to focus on A, B, and C first, then we can tackle the other problems. Or, you know, probably more importantly, what I've learned is you need to surround yourself with people that are experts in whatever you're trying to do or are capable of doing what you need to get done so that you can focus on the things that are a priority.
Yes, 100%.
That's a tough lesson when you're a small business owner.
Oh, man. I've learned that lesson, I don't know, probably 50 times over. So I hear you on that. So Dan, I did want to ask you a little bit about your marketing. However, I know your firm's fairly new, so this is going to be shifting as you move forward. But one thing that you shared was how surprised you were when you launched your website that someone within your network then posted about it and you got clients straight from that social media post.
It was beautiful. I have to be candid. I had a lot of trepidation about marketing online for my services. You know, whether it's right or wrong, I have this image of driving down the freeway and seeing, you know, billboards of attorneys saying, you know, call me, I'll fight for you, you know, type of advertising. And I don't want to be that. I didn't want to be that type of attorney, and I still don't want to be. But as it happened, my younger brother was talking to me about how my business was going, and at the time, you know, I was just getting new business from referrals, which was, you know, tough from at the beginning. So what he said was, hey, let me just take a picture of your website. I'll blast it out on my Instagram. We'll see what happens. And I was initially like, you know, I don't really know if that's such a good idea. You know, I don't want to like impose on anyone. And he was just like, no, we're going to do it. And sure enough, he did it. And I got the most amount of clients in for that signed up for that next month that I had in all of my like prior months combined. And that was like another eureka moment. I was like, holy shit, what am I doing here? Like I need to like put my ego aside and realize that there is a service that's needed out there, and especially for people of our demographic, you know, that are younger, that have assets, families, or businesses, and either don't know what they don't know and need some form of awareness. about the type of services that'll benefit them or put their mind at ease, or just they're already looking for those type of services. And if they know me, oh my gosh, that clears a huge hurdle, right? Because I firmly believe that people do business with those they know, like, and trust. And so, I mean, especially when you're talking about estate planning, you know, you're going to sit down with somebody and divulge a bunch of information, and both personal, financial, you know, do you want to keep somebody out of a trust or will, you know, or what do you want to have, like, on your burial stone? Do you want to be cremated? Why? Like, or, I mean, not why, but, you know, it's just a very, very in-depth personal conversation. And if you don't know, like, and trust that person that is sitting across from you, you're just not going to do business with them. And so now I'm transitioning my business to focus on that online marketing, and I'm trying to capture all three of those criteria for potential clients. So I'm trying to, I have articles and blogs that I kind of send out on LinkedIn and some other social media sites where I talk about, you know, the need for trusts and wills and just estate planning in general for young families, for people with assets, for business owners. And then, you know, I also send out some information about myself, but I think the trust, which is probably the most important of the three, really comes when I have an opportunity to talk to a potential client or sit down with a potential client. So the online marketing really drives the like knowledge of the services and if they're going to like me. And then if they do know me and like me, they'll probably call me. And if they call me, then I'm confident that I can get them to trust me based on, you know, everything we've talked about.
Yeah. And I ask this question strategically for our listeners, because I think a lot of people feel similarly to you, and that I don't want to impose upon people. So I'm not going to share what I'm doing online. I'm not going to educate online. I'm not going to share it. And I think once we get over that hurdle, we realize it's this great opportunity, because if our friends and family who are already in our networks online know what we're doing, then they also can refer business our way. And in your case,
absolutely,
there's so much education opportunity. Like, you don't know what you don't know. You said it earlier. There's a huge need, and you can educate people so that by the time they are ready for you, like, you're the one who's top of mind.
Yeah. That's the realization that just kind of fell into my lap when my brother insisted on, you know, it was a simple Instagram post that just had a picture of my website, my bio, and talked about the services I provided. And it's something I'm working on developing more and more day in, day out. But probably most importantly, I understand the value of it. And I just got to keep refining it.
Yeah. You know, it's all about getting feedback, and you'll, as you saw, okay, that worked well. Let me do more of that. Or you put something out there and it doesn't work that well. And speaking transparently, like, I'm in online marketing, but I don't love social media all that much, to be honest. But
same here.
But I do it because I generate income off the back of social media. So, you know, I shared in a training I did for our community maybe 3 weeks ago, I was saying, I really hate posting selfies. I really hate doing all this stuff, but I do it because it provides an income for my family. And, like, get my ego out of the way, if that's, you know, if that's what I hate doing, if that's what people want and like, and that's how they get to know me, like, then I need to, like, step aside from my ego and say, like, this isn't imposing upon people and people like this. But it's a really hard pill to swallow if, like, that's not really you and that's not really what you like doing. But
yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more with you. It's very difficult. But if you know, if you're going to start your own business, I think in any facet, you're going to need to do difficult things that maybe bring you out of your comfort zone in order to be successful. And so for me, like you, you know, I don't like social media that much, but I'm doing it because I know it's good for the business. And if it's good for the business, it's ultimately good for me and my family. And I'm also exploring some other things where I'm kind of identifying who my typical like client avatar is, right? And figuring out how I can take things not only just online, but offline. Because I do think there's kind of this sense that people do want to get back together again after what we've all been through in COVID. And so I'm trying to go back into the local community and see if I can host events. I have one that I think is tailored to a specific demographic, which I call Wine and Wills, where we go to a wine shop, drink some wine, and I give a presentation on wills to generally, you know, a lot of parents with kids, and we talk about what they need. And it's just for me, it's a more comfortable form of marketing, but it's still yet to be seen whether it's more or less effective than the online aspect that I, you know, grit my teeth and do.
Well, they'll probably work hand in hand, number one, because you have to stay in touch with people in between events.
Absolutely.
And what parent wouldn't die and go to heaven for a reason to take an hour away from home and have a glass of wine? I mean, I think it's really smart.
I think you should promote it then. I mean, that's perfectly put. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Dan, I super appreciate all your time and all your sharing of behind the scenes. I have two final questions for you. And the first is, you know, you're pretty early on in this journey, but you've already learned like so much. And if you had to give advice to someone else who's thinking about starting their own business right now, what advice might you give them?
You know, I think if you're thinking about doing it, you're probably going to do it at some point in time, and there's no better time like the present. That was certainly my realization. But two, don't try to reinvent the wheel. You know, there's so many resources out there. There's so many people that are experts in niches that can support your business in ways that you'll never be able to do. Take advantage of you know, all those resources and all that expertise out there, because if they can enhance your strengths, then it's only going to make you and your business more successful.
Thank you, Dan. And where can our listeners go to find you online?
You can go to Finn, that's FINN, two N's, legalgroup.com. And you can find Finn Legal Group on LinkedIn and Facebook as well.
Amazing. Those links will be in the show notes. And I encourage you to check out Dan's site, consider his estate planning services or buy-sell agreements. He's really great at what he does. And if I wasn't in Colorado, I would be a client as well.
Yes, unfortunately. But California, maybe in the cards for you sometime soon.
Maybe. We will see. Thank you, Dan, for your time.
Thanks, Lauren. I really appreciate it.
Heck yeah. You just finished another episode of the Marketing That Generates podcast. I hope you found a few takeaways that you can put into action right away. If you want more on today's episode, head over to marketingthatgenerates.com for show notes, links, bonus resources, and related episodes. Plus, if you're looking to connect with other amazing business owners just like you, be sure to join my free community. You can get access at marketingthatgenerates.com. Thanks for listening, and I'll meet you back here next week.